In the name of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Eat, says Jesus. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Eat me and you will live. But hearing this, the crowds around him said, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat? This teaching is intolerable. Who can accept it?" After this, many of his disciples turned away and no longer went about with him. They had no appetite. They were not hungry for the food that Jesus offered. Some of you may have been fans of Anthony Bourdain, the chef and writer and world traveler, who before his death last spring was a large living human being with a great appetite. He was an omnivore with a capital O. He ate everything with a capital E. He explored every corner of the world by eating food in every corner of the world. He got to know the people by sharing the food that they had prepared. At home, he said, he cooked simply, pancakes for his 9-year-old daughter. But around the world, he was adventurous and very brave. He ate whatever local specialty was offered to him. Therefore, he ate maggot fried rice and warthog and the lesser known parts of every kind of animal and creature. He ate street food in every kind of street, and he ate fermented shark meat, which is rumored to be the stinkiest food in the whole world. He consumed these things and let them into his body. He said that he did not always want to eat what was offered to him, but he had guts, and he let these things into his body for the sake of courtesy and hospitality and the people with whom he ate. He did not turn away from them and the food that they offered. Such an amazing act of trust to let strange food into your body. And the people who interviewed him often asked some form of this question: "Anthony, is there anything you won't eat?" And his answer may surprise you. "Ranch dressing," he said. "And airline food. No one ever feels good after eating airline food. And I like to arrive hungry." So we've come at last to the end of the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. And if you've been in church during August or following the lectionary, you know that we've been reading from this chapter for the last 5 weeks. And the chapter begins, as you may recall, with a great feast of bread and fish on the hillside, and 5,000 or more well-fed folks, happy and satisfied, and excited even about all the leftovers. And then Jesus says, "I am the feast. I am the living bread come down from heaven." And that's when they start to get annoyed. And then he ratchets it up a bit. And he says, the bread that I give is my flesh. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. And the language he uses here is quite graphic. He does not say, this bread is my body, but my flesh, skin, and muscle, and sinew. And the word he uses for eat is not a delicate one, but means something more like gnaw, or chomp, or munch. Language that is more suited for a barnyard than a meal around a table. And we have heard these words so often that we have ceased to be squeamish about them. But the crowds around Jesus said, this teaching is intolerable. Who can stomach it? After that, many of his disciples went away and no longer went about with him. The great poet Mary Oliver has a little poem called Farm Country, in which she writes, I have sharpened my knives. I have put on the heavy apron. Maybe you think life is chicken soup served in beautiful blue willow pattern bowls. I have put on my boots and opened the kitchen door and stepped out into the sunshine. I have crossed the lawn and I have entered the hen house. There is an underside to that delicious bowl of soup served in beautiful blue willow pattern bowls. There is an act and a story and some bloodshed in that delicious, fragrant soup. And the crowds around Jesus want the bread of life, but not the flesh and blood. They want the feast, but not the sacrifice and the story mixed up in it. After that, many of disciples turned back. And so Jesus asked the 12, do you also wish to go away? Now Peter is as repulsed and offended as anyone. He keeps the dietary laws quite faithfully and does not let anything unclean enter his body. But as confusing and offensive as Jesus is, he sees something from which he cannot easily turn away. Lord, to whom else would we go? You have the way of life. And so by the end of the chapter, we have gone from 5,000 enthusiasts to a little band of 12, held together by this fragile confession of faith. Where else would we go? You have the way of life. And that is us, sometimes confused, sometimes offended, but with a glimpse of a way of life and a kind of feast from which we cannot turn away. Oscar Romero said, a teaching that doesn't unsettle, a gospel that doesn't get under your skin, what kind of gospel is that? Eat, says Jesus. Life is not chicken soup served in blue willow pattern bowls. But eat, keep the feast. To eat is not only to be fed, but to let a part of the world come into yourself, into your body, and your life. Let the gospel get under your skin. The food and the story and the flesh and the blood. As I stand here today, my brother-in-law lies on his deathbed in another city. His body of frail flesh is wearing out, ready to up and quit at any time, though he is very much alive. He is exhausted, but wide awake. He can hardly eat, but he has not ceased to hunger for life. And he is trying to find the courage to make the decision and sign the document that the doctors have advised, which is the order, do not resuscitate. His four children have gathered around him from various places, and he draws life from them. With gusto, he draws life from their mere presence. Even though he died, he drew life from them. And they also draw life from him in their love, finding the strength to feed and carry him. Here is food indeed. When we have nothing to offer except the frail flesh of our very selves. And it is enough to give life. Therefore, let us keep the feast. A few months ago, when I was still working at St. Gregory's in Athens, as I left an afternoon meeting and headed back to the church, I saw standing on the curb in front of the Kroger's on Barnett Shoals Road, an older, dignified woman carrying a cardboard sign. When I stopped at the stop sign, I glanced over to read what the sign said. "Help me," she had written. "I need," and then there was a list of 6 or 8 items, like a grocery list. And I only had time to read the first few before I traveled across the intersection. "I need," she had written, "transportation, a vacuum, onions." Quite a surprising variety of items there on the curb, and a whole new hierarchy of needs. And even as I was driving away, I wished that I had paused long enough to read more, to read everything, in part because of curiosity. What else was on her list? And as soon as I got back to church, I wished also that I had turned into the drive and stopped my car and gotten out and introduced myself and found out more about her situation. What else did she need? Such a brave, brave, foolish human being to stand on a curb and broadcast the whole scope of unruly and assorted needs that I realized were not so different from my own. Transportation, a vacuum sometimes, and some onions. But instead, I had averted my eyes and escaped down the road on a busy afternoon with no appetite for the needs of my neighbor. The worst thing in the world is to tell someone your story, Have the courage to tell your story, including the underside, and have someone say, "So what?" and turn away. I do not want to be that person. Even if I did not on that day have a vacuum or some onions or even the time to get her where she needed to go, I might have met her eyes and spoken to her and acknowledged our kinship as frail, flesh and blood human beings. I might have celebrated a little communion and kept the feast with her. In this sixth chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus not only says, "Eat," but is teaching us to be hungry. Hungry to be fed and hungry to be food. He is teaching us to be hungry for communion under every form and in every form of flesh. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Jesus asked the disciples, "Do you also wish to go away?" "Lord, to whom else would we go? You have the way of life, and you are the world to us." Amen.